Each morning, millions of people across the nation pick up their morning papers and sit down to read it over breakfast. Among the sections they'll read, and according to some statistics, over 60% of readers turn there first, are the comic pages. Why do major modern newspapers devote so much expensive newsprint to something that has no relation to news? And why is it, for many people, the most popular part of the paper? Obviously, entertainment is part of the appeal. But there is more to the comics than that. In many ways, they reflect the values and attitudes of our society. Some, such as political strips, in an obvious fashion, and others more subtly. Barbara Thaler, a graduate student in communication at George Mason University and an instructor at the Northern Virginia Community College, has studied 6 months of Washington Post comic strips and has looked in particular at the way in which they portray men and women and their roles. Barbara, what started you on this study?
A year ago, I took Dr. Thaler, the chairperson of the communication department's course called Women in Communication. And I started collecting cartoons related to what we were learning in the course, just as I've collected cartoons for years in my teaching field, oral communication. Whenever I could find a cartoon that really brought home a point humorously, I'd collect it. So I started collecting gender-referenced cartoons. And then when a paper was assigned, of course, I was looking for a topic, and suddenly I thought, this might be a very interesting topic to look at the stereotyping in the comic strips as I was becoming aware of them.
You found you could categorize the strips to a degree. How did you break them down?
Well, I found from the history of the comic strips that originally they were truly comic, and for 20 years the content was comic, and then narrative comic strips came in with just stories and no humor. So I subdivided into superheroes and heroes, and this would be in the narrative vein. And then, because of my theater training and education, I recognized the everyman figure, and those were the groups for the men, and then I limited the boys to a title called Boys, and animals, animals. And then I did have a group called Marrieds, and then females and girls, and then other titles, which is not terribly original, but it looked better than miscellaneous.
You looked at them in terms of how they reflected stereotypes for males and females.
Yes.
What kind of things were you looking for?
Well, I was looking at where the valued masculine and the valued feminine traits, as delineated in our text in the course and other readings, had proposed. And the differences were quite opposite. The men were active, the women were passive, the men were dominant, the women were submissive, the men used harsh language, the women used proper speech. The men are almost the opposite of the women, and to the women's detriment, the women are looked as the negative of the positive of what is in man. So these stereotypes really limit the men and the women, because we do know there are men who are nurturing and caring. Mm-hmm. We know women who use swear words. We know women who are most aggressive and dominant, and we know some very passive men too. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to see in the characters, I had to analyze each one to see what traits they did have.
Uh-huh. And did you find that in the comic strips they tended to reflect these type of general traits?
Particularly for the women.
Uh-huh.
The women are more stereotypically feminine in the comic strips, except for few outrageous ones like Broomhilda,
right,
who has the valued masculine traits. She smokes a cigar, curses, chases men most aggressively.
Drinks
excessively. She's very old, which I think is another interesting point about the stereotypes. They tend to be more true for the young characters, male and female. And as we age, we seem to get away from the stereotypes. So perhaps the stereotypes are just an ideal that has been devised to explain our differences and our similarities.
So you think young characters in the comic strip tended to stick more to the stereotypes. When they got older, they could be a little different.
Especially our heroes.
Yes, but then you take one like Mary Worth, who is a real female with many of the feminine stereotypes, I
yes,
would think.
Yes, she's fairly independent in that she seems to be independently wealthy, or else I've never understood where her money comes from. She seems to go from home to home. So in a way, she's independent, and in a way, she's also still dependent.
Speaking of Mary Worth, you gave a little interesting background on her, which I was totally unaware of.
You're too young to know that. She was Apple Annie in the Depression years. She sold apples on the street corner, as so many people did, to make money.
Uh-huh.
And she was very dowdily dressed. She was still wonderful, mothering, nurturing, caring Mary. But her lifestyle has improved through the years.
She's moved up.
She certainly has. She's had upward mobility.
Society has changed a great deal in the last 10 to 20 years, especially in regard to the role of women. It sounds, from what you're saying, that the comic strips don't really reflect this.
Oh, yes. We have a couple of wonderfully liberated women. We have Sally Forth, who is in the tradition of the comic theater, where the name of the character also is the characteristic of the character.
Right.
So Sally's Forth goes forth very aggressively as a feminist. And then we have wonderful Kathy, who tries to be a feminist, only she keeps slipping back into the old feminine mystique. And this is the humor. We do see what is the stereotype and how women are trying to change. So there is that development in the last few years.
Now, you've named two out of, what, there must be 40?
Let's see, I've forgotten the exact number, but I remember the ratio. It's 3.6 to 1 in favor of the men. So it's truly a man's world in the comic strip.
That's
now, we have feminine character, female characters in the men's strips and vice versa, but the actual names of the strips are mostly male. And this is true of the children and of the animals. And I think it's interesting that the boys and the animals are very indulged, loved males. And no matter what outrageous things they do, the parents, the people around them, the characters around them accept them. So again, there seems to be favoritism in the research toward the male of the species at a very young age.
Do men tend to do male-named comic strips and women to do the others?
Well, in this case, with the two more forward-thinking cartoons, we have two women cartoonists, Guy's White and, I've forgotten Sally Forth's name, I don't have it right in front of me, but there are two women cartoonists. And then I did note in the paper that I wrote that I'm suspicious that the studio, the Disney studio and the Muppet studio may have women working, not only in ideas, but doing the cartooning. But again, they have low visibility.
Do you think the strips are purely reflective of society, or do you think they can influence attitudes at all?
Well, there's a great discussion, a philosophical discussion in the arts as to whether the arts reflect culture or whether they're teaching tools. And I went to an undergraduate school where Ibsen and his social messages were the playwright to read, and the University of California was very interested in social messages, and still is, as you know. Catholic University, on the other hand, even though it's a religious school, I was surprised to find that their philosophy is that the arts are recreations, recreation. They renew the spirit, they try to give some sort of order in our disordered life, and that the most successful theater, and I would say probably in the arts, would be the popular forms, which do not have social messages, or the lasting ones. So I would say that the cartoons are a popular cultural reflection, and maybe someone will learn something in a humorous way, but I don't think that's their intent. I think they're a reflection of our culture.
Right. You mentioned that many of the comic strip heroes almost came to an end when they took the dread step of marriage, usually after having avoided it for the last 20 or 30 years. Why do you think that was?
Well, I guess after so many years of losing and finding and losing and finding, I know as a very young reader, as a girl, I suffered. I was so romantic, and I wanted them to get together and have a happy, they'll live happily ever after ending, like the movies in my day. And finally, they got married, and I was very happy. But a lot of the readers were not happy, and suddenly these older characters became very domesticated and more nurturing and caring and truly androgynous men. That means they have both the valued masculine and valued feminine traits, and I think it's a sign of growth. It may be disenchanting to the young readers. Also, I think maybe the cartoonists had to take a step to develop the stories.
It's interesting that they have, most of them, taken this step in the last 4 or 5 years. The Phantom, Brenda
Prince
Starr.
Prince Valiant married his Alita many years ago.
That's true.
You're too young to remember that one, too, maybe.
We're talking about comics being comic, and you were talking about the fact that some of them are narrative and have no humor, mm-hmm. and others consistently have humor, and that's the point of them. When did this division come about, and why?
Well, the first real comic strip started in 1899 with The Happy Hooligan, and then for 20 years there was humor. But during Depression time, narrative came in. It wasn't a very happy time. And so I guess this reflected the cultural needs of the time, that people were having such desperate times that perhaps the narrative story was meeting a need at the time. There wasn't too much to laugh at when they were hungry and without work.
What do you think are the most revolutionary strips on the pages?
Oh, I love The Far Side. There's visual humor. In fact, this is a point to be made, too, that the comics are a unique combination of a picture and words. And the best examples of them, and they can be analyzed aesthetically according to standards, the best ones cannot be separated. The word and the picture have to go together. So they're truly movies on pages. So maybe that's another reason they've been so popular in America, because we did start movies, too. So I guess this is part of our culture. I also enjoy Bloom County. I think it gets a little excessive, and I do miss Doonesbury. But these are getting into the political cartoonists, which have been around for a long mm-hmm. time, and been very, remember Nast brought down Tammany Hall through his cartoons.
Yes, so there is a case of...
where it did some good.
It did, yes, in fact, influence
mm-hmm,
the society around it.
There was a great influence.
Mm. You made some interesting comments in your paper about such cartoons as the Lockhorns. How did these strike you?
I'm not happy with the Lockhorns, and it really disturbs me when my husband laughs at the Lockhorns every morning. I think it's a rather cruel strip myself, and these are stereotypical characters. However, he is also an everyman kind of character who's always being put down. And this was the final conclusion I came to in my study, that the men and the women are suffering not so much from the gender stereotypes as the power struggle in our society. So I guess it's a political thing, it's economic, and that the average man and the average comic character is really defeated. He tries to be aggressive and dominant, but he is defeated. He'd like to be the stereotype and successful, the hero, but he's defeated time and time again. And the women are climbing up out of that difficulty mm-hmm. slowly themselves. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because there are very few hero-type comic strips anymore, particularly in the Washington Post pages. They just have, what, the Phantom, Spider-Man?
Perhaps? Well, actually, I decided that Spider-Man was the only one that had most of the valued masculine traits. Mm-hmm. He's not married yet, and he is only masculine when he has his superpowers. So I think it's interesting that not only do you have to be young to be a true stereotype or truer to it, but you also have to have supernatural powers.
And be unmarried, by the sounds of things.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Barbara, thank you very much for coming in today and discussing your work on the comic strips. And I think it'll give us all a little more to think about when we turn to that page in the mornings. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University. For information about our guest or this program, please call 323-2138. Thank you for listening.